to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather here like this. Thank you for your goodness and kindness to us. And pray a special blessing on Marcus's and down Edgar's, the brothers from Mexico down there too, and just give them a good time of fellowship and growth and encouragement. Pray for Williams, for Adam, for them to feel well, and for Burns. May your will be done, just help them. Each one of us, Lord, help us to follow you and serve you.
Then he called the princes of Moab and
Do you remember who these Moabites and Ammonites were? They were not Israelites, but they did live close to Canaan, or all around, down south, southeast of Israel, and to the east of Israel. Do you remember the story of Lot, nephew of Abraham? Remember Lot? Okay, Lot had two sons, Moab and Ammon. And they became the Moabites and the Ammonites. So these people are like cousins to the Israelites. But they had surrendered, these Moabites and Ammonites had surrendered to Elophades. And so he's calling their princes and saying, who are these Israelites up there in the hill country? I'm sure he was thinking, what big cities? I haven't heard about these people. Where are they? Who are up there tending a few sheep up in these mountain valleys? Who are they? Why are they? What are they trusting in? So, verse 5. An Ammonite's history of Israel. Then Achior, the leader of the Ammonites, said to him, talking to Elophades, let my lord hear now the word that comes from the mouth of the servant, and I will tell you the truth concerning this people who dwell in this hill country near you. No falsehood will come out of the mouth of your servant. These people are descended from the Chaldeans. They previously sojourned in Mesopotamia because they did not wish to follow the gods of their fathers, who were in Chaldea, for they had departed from the way of their ancestors and worshipped the God of heaven, the God they had come to know. As a result, they cast them out from the presence of their gods, and they fled to Mesopotamia and sojourned there for a long time. Then their God commanded them to depart from the place of their sojourn and go to the land of Canaan. Who was Abraham's father? What was his name? Do you remember that? Way back. Do you remember the name? You know, question. We talked about Terah was Abraham's father. And it's interesting, having read a lot of the book of Abraham, how Terah, you know, tried to defend his son Abraham, but all the people in the land were like, getting out of here, he's worshiping the God of heaven, and they were, the Terah's people, the Chaldeans, were worshiping the stars. You know, the stars and all the hosts of heaven, they were astrologers and worshiped the stars, so much so that in Israel of old, if you talk about the Chaldeans, everybody just thought, oh, star worshippers. You know, that's just how they were known. But Abraham wanted to worship and come to know the one who made the stars, the creator of the stars. So he was cast out. So he fled to Mesopotamia, Abraham did, but when he was in Mesopotamia, God spoke to him. Verse 9. Then their God commanded them to depart from the place of their sojourn and go to the land of Canaan. Do you remember a little of that story? What did God say to Abraham? Did he say, like, come out into a land that I will show thee? So Abraham went out, not knowing where he was actually going to go or end up, just following God by faith. Okay. So that's the history that this man is talking about. He knew all this history. It's interesting. Okay, so they settled there and became very wealthy in gold, silver, and abundant livestock. But when a famine spread through all of Canaan, they went down to Egypt and sojourned there as long as there was food. And there they became a great multitude, so great that it could not be numbered. Then the king of Egypt rose against them and took advantage of them and forced them to make bricks. He humbled them and made them slaves. So they cried out to their God and struck the whole land of Egypt with deadly plagues. The Egyptians cast them out from their presence. So God dried up the Red Sea before them. He led them by way of Sinai and Kadesh Barnea.
and they drove out all those living in the desert. They settled in the land of the Amorites, and by their strength they utterly destroyed all the residents of Heshbon, and crossing over the river Jordan, they occupied all of the hill country. Then they drove out the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Shechemites, and the Girgashites, and they dwelt there for a long time. If they did not sin before their God, they prospered, because of their God who hates sin was with them. But when they strayed from the path which he prescribed for them, they were destroyed in numerous battles, and they were exiled to a land not their own, and the temple of their God was brought down to the ground, and their cities were seized by their adversaries. Yet now they have come back to their God and returned from their dispersion, and they have been taken back to Jerusalem, where their sanctuary is. They have settled in the hill country, for it is not inhabited. Now, my Lord and Master, if there is any sin of ignorance in this people, and they sin against their gods, then we will identify their offense and go up to defeat them. But if there is no lawlessness in their nation, then let my Lord leave them alone, lest their Lord shield them, and their God defend them, and we will become a reproach before the whole earth. Now when Achior finished speaking these things, all the people standing around the tent started to grumble. Then the Lophonase officials and all those dwelling in the seacoast and the Moab insisted Achior be put to death for what he had just said. They said, "We will not be afraid of the Israelites, for behold, they are people in whom there is no might nor power to wage war. Now therefore, we will go up to the Lophonase, and they will be devoured by your whole army." Okay, so Achior is in danger of his life right now. They like, most of the people like, they would like to go, so we'll just have to see next week what happens. Well, what do you think? Did Achior tell the truth? Or not about Israel? Yeah, he did. It's pretty accurate. It's just amazing the insight that he had into Israel. I guess the nations around Israel knew about this. This nation, if they just do not sin before their God, they prosper. But if you catch it in some sin, you can be free of that. It's God's not to help. So it just makes me think that quite possibly the folks around today, I mean, they know about the true church and what Christians ought to really be like. People really know what Christians are supposed to be living like. And they know whether the Lord is pleased or not. So it's just encouraging to live the way our God wants us to live and walk in His ways. Very interesting. Just a little more history down here. I'd like to just read at the bottom of the 582 on that page about the Chaldeans a little bit. Those Chaldeans that the Israelites came out of, you know, Terah's people, Abraham's ancestors. It says here, Chaldeans were a Semitic people. They were descended from Shem, who settled the area just north of the Persian Gulf. Ur of the Chaldeans was just outside of Mesopotamia, Greek, which is between the rivers, just south of the Euphrates River. The Chaldean city of Ur was the site of a major temple of the moon god, Sin. Such was the Chaldean tradition of worship in the heavens, and the name became a proverbial term for astrologers. And also up there, a little further, 5, verse 1, these barricades down here, these barricades that the Israelites put in the plains to try to stop this enemy army, these barricades consisted of camouflaged pits containing sharply pointed stakes meant to lame horses or impale infantry. The Israelites were doing what they could. They were not just a mighty, incredibly strong nation, really. didn't seem like, but they were doing what they could. They just were serving God at this point and doing a little of what they could. Leaving kids and camouflaging it with branches and leaves and stuff for them so people wouldn't see it. The horses and stuff would fall down in the pit. So let's do what we can to follow the Lord. We may not see great or amazing or mighty or anything, but just the little we can do, God can use that. Okay, your voice can send your memories. Work and ready.
Our assignment was to get someone that was leading or discipling someone else. And first someone of four discipled Apollos and told him about, all about Jesus because he had only known about John the Baptist.
In Acts 10, it tells about when Cornelius was trying to please God and do what God wanted him to. Then in a vision, an angel told him to go to Peter, and he went to Peter, and Peter taught him some things.
We had the same assignment as the younger boys. And I got Paul was being like a father to Timothy and showing him the way and giving him good instruction and being over him like a father.
I thought of Eli taught Samuel and just trained him to be a good man and to where he would fill his place while he, after he died.
Timothy was taught by his mother and grandmother to be good and right, and then he was with Paul, and Paul taught him some things too, and he became a minister.
In the wisdom of Sirach, Ben Sirach records all this instruction for his son. It was all teaching.
For an assignment for next time, maybe you could tell us a little story about one time whenever it looked like there was no hope, no way. They were just completely in great straits, and then God helped them out whenever they just took a step in time. Thank you.